with you here in the Green Zone on a Wednesday edition of the show. We're going to tour around various sports as we usually do. We're going to talk to Pat Steinberg today on John Huffnagel sounding like he's leaving the Calgary Stampeders. I don't think a lot of people in Calgary saw that one coming.
Can we talk to Pat about the Flames?
That'll come up. He does host the pre- and post-game show and Flames Talk and all that stuff on Calgary Radio as well.
Because they're awful this year, and I am all here for it. I got my party hat and everything.
Careful what you wish for here, Locker.
I know, I shouldn't.
Gavin McKenna might be a Calgary Flame next year. That might turn the tide of the Flames. We're also going to check in with the New England Patriots and the best team in hockey. We just talked about the worst team, the Calgary Flames. They lost to Nashville. But we're going to check in with the Colorado Avalanche, who beat my Canucks last night. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. And our game of the night last night was the Leafs and Panthers, two teams out of the playoffs, needing to start to get a jolt on their season. And last night's game went very well for Toronto.
The Troy Skechers score! There's Bobby McMahon. Joshua scores! Rantz looking for Lawton. Lucic score!
Yeah, 4-1 for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Stetcher and Lawton, both the goals, their first of the season. Dakota Joshua having a good start now that he's in the lineup for the Leafs, goal and assist. Florida has lost four of their last five games, four straight at home.
Hate seeing that.
Yeah, you. This Oilers fan loves all of hockey right now, except for the fact his Oilers. Well,
you know what I will say about that Leafs win last night? That was bottom six win.
Oh, it was not the superstars were driving the bus on that one.
If you're Leaf fans, I mean, that's not going to happen every night. That's going to be rarefied air. But at the same time, I'd be very excited if I was a Leafs fan watching that game because they played well.
How'd your Oilers do last night?
My Oilers got goalied.
Now McDavid breaks in on his backhand, dishes, and a save made. Volstead had time. Another shot squeezed by Volstead. Holds a one-timer Bouchard and a kick save made. Volstead,
33 saves. He has a record fourth shutout on the season in just 10 games. He was the rookie of the month for November, and the Oilers have lost five of their last seven. That kicks off a five-game
homestand. But their goaltending's getting better, Locker.
Stu has made 49 of 50 of his last two games' saves. We got the shutout the other night. And you know what? I watched that game. That's one of those games where you're not angry at the team because they dominated. They dominated, I'd say, 45 minutes of that game was Oilers. So they played hard. They couldn't convert. So I am not upset about those two. That game last night.
In other hockey headlines last night, it was Carter Hart's return to the National Hockey League, and in a shootout, the Golden Knights got a win.
We see a defenseman in the shootout for the first time. Shea Theodore, impressive career shootout numbers.
He's smooth with it. Chance to walk it off here,
too. He can win it for Vegas. Backhand!
Yes, Carter Hart made a return after his suspension was lifted for his role in the 2018 World Junior Sexual Assault Trial, acquitted back in July. He was allowed to play as of yesterday, but this was the first game back for him. He stopped 27 of 30 shots. One of the goals he allowed in regulation was a highlight reel rocket from Connor Bedard. And then Connor Bedard probably one-upped himself in his shootout goal against Carter Hart. That was something else from
Bedard. The interesting thing about that goal, that shootout goal for me, was he had another plan. He saw that opening at the last second. That's my take on that. Because he went five hole, and I don't think that was the plan when he was going in.
Yeah, it looked like he just went, wait a second, I'm going to pause right here real quick.
Yeah.
And
oh, you gave
Carter
me this?
Hart's going to go to his thinking goal. He's going backhand, and then, oh, right through it was a heck of a goal. But
I got to look up his percentage of shootout goals.
Like Vegas wins 4-3 in a shootout last night over Chicago. So Carter Hart starts with a win in his return to the National Hockey League.
All right, bit of a theme on the show today. The Browns designate QB Deshaun Watson for his return to practice.
Just stumbled, and now Watson is hurt. Oh, boy. Immediately clutches at his right ankle. You see the buckle of his right leg. My goodness.
You see that that snap in his, in his calf.
So that was the Achilles injury last year. So it's been over a year since he has played. Watson underwent two surgeries to repair the tendon. One in October on the 25th, and then it looked like something was wrong, so they went back in and did another surgery on January 9th. So a player designated for return has 21 days to be activated or must remain on the reserve list for the remainder of the season. Do we see him?
Like, I believe this might just be the Browns, hey, let's practice for 3 weeks, see how you feel and all that stuff.
Like, what's the point right now, right? Like,
unless they really, 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 really don't want Shedeur Sanders to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. There is that speculation that
he's that annoying.
Kevin Stefanski doesn't want anything to do with Shedeur Sanders as the starting quarterback.
Okay.
But we'll see. Shadur's getting another start, and he takes on Tennessee, so that should be a win for Sanders.
I picked the Browns.
That's one of our picks this week is the Browns. The Browns. The Titans are terrible. Myles Garrett's going to get he's probably going to break the NFL record for single game and season sacks in this one against Tennessee. But we wrap up the starting lineup with baseball as the Blue Jays add another arm.
Cody Ponce is back from the KBO and signing a 3-for-30 to go to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes, Cody Ponce, second round pick of the Milwaukee Brewers like 10 years ago, fell out of favor in the major leagues, went to Japan. He was the Korean MVP last season, 1.89 ERA, over 200 strikeouts for Hanwha the Eagles. So it's a 3-year, $30 million deal for Cody Ponce for the Toronto Blue Jays. So another arm. And we'll keep you up to date. There's some breaking NBA news. Giannis Antetokounmpo did scrub Milwaukee Bucks. I almost said Brewers. Milwaukee Bucks from his social media. And now Shams, ESPN NBA insider, is saying there are ongoing conversations with Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, whether his future will be in Milwaukee or elsewhere. Ahead of the NBA trade deadline.
On the move?
It sounds like it's either on the move ahead of the deadline or on the move this offseason. It doesn't sound like Giannis is too happy.
Is he going to the Clippers?
No, with Chris Paul leaving. A lot of people think it might be the Lakers. I hope not. He wanted to get traded, apparently. This is another ESPN report. He wanted to get traded to the Knicks this offseason and then settled on going, no, I'll give you another shot here in Milwaukee, but things aren't going well with the Bucks. So.
No.
One of the best basketball players on the planet, Giannis Antetokounmpo, might be headed elsewhere. Coming up here on the Green Zone, we're going to have a twist on a baby pool. You know the baby pool? Pick what date the baby is born, hour, all that other stuff. We're going to have a little twist. We're going to call it the Trevor Harris pool.
The Trevor Harris reveal.
When does he sign his contract? The Riders just announced signings, and I opened the tweet. I'm like, oh, this is going to ruin our plan because I saw a number 7, but it's an American receiver that you've never heard of that they signed. But I think it's coming soon. Of course, we did this last minute. We like to give away prizes, so Locker and I are negotiating what we're willing to do for you.
I'm not cleaning anyone's house. Take that off the list.
Babysitting?
No, that's an awful idea. My wife wouldn't let me take care of the children that I had.
That did not surprise me whatsoever. But pick a date and a time you think Trevor Harris is going to sign. Although
I'll
down the hallway, people are like, well, he's going to retire, isn't he? Maybe you want to say no date, he's retiring. Or he's signing somewhere else. And also, what should the term be? 1 or 2 years for Trevor Harris in his return to Saskatchewan. 1-877-332-8255 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. It's the Green Zone Harris Pool. It's a twist on a baby pool. When will Trevor Harris sign his contract? We need a date and a time. Also throw in if you think it should be a 1 or 2 year deal for Trevor Harris as well, which we can debate about a little bit later on. So we need a date and a time. Kirk believes Rough Riders will announce it on social media at 10:23 a.m. tomorrow. My guess was 10 a.m. on the nose.
Give us the hour, and if it happens in that hour, we'll mark you down.
Well, you can give Kirk 10 a.m. But yeah. What if he wants 10:23? So if it's at 10:31, I don't think 11. The person who guesses 11 should get it.
Kirk, it doesn't surprise. Kirk's that guy, makes everything more complicated than it needs to be.
That's the time. Yeah. Maybe he thought I already had 10, so he wanted to usurp me. 187. I can't win whatever prize. I think Locker and I personalized voicemail message for your phone. That could work.
There's some behind-the-scenes maneuvering, so we'll keep you posted on that.
1-877-332-8255 as we continue here on The Green Zone. What do you got? Mason says December the 8th at 11 a.m. That's Monday at 11 a.m. So start off the week next week at 11 is when we'll get Trevor Harris's contract extension.
You think it's coming soon?
I think it's coming right away. I have tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. Ian says Friday at 3. Ian, they're not going to Friday news dump this. No way.
I got Friday at 11 a.m.
Now, if you're going, what's a Friday news dump? Usually, if you have bad news that you need to tell people about as an organization and you don't really want it to take over the news cycle for the week, you throw it out.
This isn't that
Friday.
Though.
That's why I'm saying, I don't know, Ian, that Friday at 3 would be the right time. You don't want to throw it out there and just have it die on the vine. It only gets 1 6 o'clock news, and then everybody goes off for the weekend and forgets about the bad news you just portrayed. That's what Louis said. Friday is for bad news. Monday, 9 a.m., says Louis, for a Trevor Harris contract.
All right.
1-877-332-8255.
And we're working on prizing. It might be something from the Green Zone. It may be.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the. I don't want to make anybody think anything on prizing if we don't have anything for prizing other than me leaving a voicemail.
Voicemail, a picture on the social media.
Yeah, those types of.
Wash your car.
See what we can have on that. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. We're doing our Trevor Harris pool on a spinoff of the baby pool. When will he sign his extension with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
We're getting a lot of guesses soon.
Yeah, Tuesday
at
10:09 a.m. Very specific, says Barclay. December the 10th, that's next Wednesday at 3. I have tomorrow at 10 a.m. with zero insight into it at all. Dave is also going with December the 5th at 10 a.m.
I got Friday at 11 a.m.
Send in your text at 1-877-332-8255. But there was another big CFL story yesterday. Of course, Mike Miller announced as the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts. And then Dave Naylor, lingering around Argo's facilities, found out a little nugget of news that John Huffnagel leaving the Stamps to join the Argos in a senior advisor role. Pat Steinberg joins us at Sportsnet Radio in Calgary, of course, contributed to CFL.ca and got me by one game in the CFL Pick'em League this year. I was really banking on you going with Montreal in the Grey Cup, Pat, so we could tie, to be honest.
When I saw the Grey Cup picks come out and I saw that we all had Sask, big fist pump, because I was like, okay, I can finally get back on top of that thing. I had a horrible playoff record. I think I went 1-4 prior to the Grey Cup, so or 1-3 prior to the Grey Cup. So, yeah, I
went perfect.
Job opening the door.
I went 5-0 and almost caught you in the CFL playoffs. But let's get
the,
to Huff.
The regular season's all that matters.
Let's get to Huff. How surprised are you with this Naylor news that Mr. Huffnagel might be jumping ship to Toronto?
So when producer Scott sent me a text yesterday, I hadn't seen the news right away. I was like, oh, excuse me. So I immediately surfed over onto Twitter and then to 3Down and to CFL.ca and all of the sources that you see. Like, okay, that is significant news. And look, guys, it's been the end of an era in this market for quite some time in terms of, you know, this being Huff's team, Huffnagel's team. But, you know, you always still associated the Stampeders and John Huffnagel together in this market. And so seeing him go and now be associated, it all makes sense. You know, the association with John Murphy and how this has become here in Calgary, Dave Dickinson's team over the last number of years, it still is weird to see because, you know, my glory years, not my glory years, but my years covering the Stamps were kind of active every day and being there on a daily basis and covering all the games. That was during the Huffnagel glory years from kind of 2008 to 2013-14 is when I was covering the team most closely, and they were such a powerhouse under him, and he kind of took on a Bill Belichick like Bill Belichick like aura here in this market in terms of just how the Stampeders and Huffnagel were tied together. So it's been a while since he's been a public face of the team and has been in a more behind-the-scenes advisory role, and a lot of the football ops decisions have been handed over to Dave Dickinson, but still weird to see him no longer associated with the Stamps, and even weirder to see it happen in such a quiet fashion like it did here. So I'm going to be really interested to see how involved he is with this Argos team trying to get back to the top of the mountain here.
Pat, let's dig into that a little bit, because I'm curious about what this says about the Stampeders, and I'm also curious as to what it says about the Argos, right? As we connect all the dots here, does this say more about where the Calgary Stampeders organization is letting him go, or does this say more about what's happening in Toronto with the Argonauts?
That's a good question. I would lean the former. I would lean more about what it says about where the Stampeders have gone over the last couple of years. I mean, the Stamps have undergone a pretty significant restructuring in terms of the way they go about their business over the last number of years. So they brought in former player Jay McNeil to be their president, and he's really, really gone out of his way to try to build the Stamps back. Look, we've got a handicap in this market having McMahon Stadium as our facility. But, you know, he's really gone out of his way to try to build the Stampeders back into a real quality property in this market and to get people re-engaged and reinvested. And as the restructuring was happening, also a lot of the football power was transferred. I mean, John Huffnagel went from being head coach to GM to being just the GM and president, and then just to being the president. And so more recently, it's really become Dave Dickinson's thing to see over, and it's really become Dave Dickinson's team in terms of how they go about getting their personnel, how they go about scouting, how they go about their cap structure, and then obviously with him as the head coach as well. So it's definitely I think more of an underlining as to the shift, at least I think, the shift the Stampeders have gone through over the last 2 to 5 years. And it kind of makes sense from a Toronto standpoint. John Murphy and John Huffnagel go way back together. They had a very good track record of scouting talent and of bringing in talent that, you know, a lot of other teams didn't see. And those players turned into really high-end guys in the CFL. So all things being equal, I think it speaks more towards the Stampeders and their shift as opposed to maybe what the Argos were thinking, because it just seemed like a sensible move for Toronto to be making.
Yeah, I've always think John Murphy needs an editor, and Huff's a good editor to go, okay, great talent. Don't know if that's a good culture guy to bring in. So maybe that helps. But Pat Steinberg's here. Of course, you see him on Flames TV on Sportsnet as well now, making his TV debut a few weeks ago. We got to get into the Flames. Our audience, there's a lot of Flames fans here. How hot is Ryan Huska's seat as the coach of the Flames right now?
Well, you know, honestly, Jamie, I don't think the coaching hot seat is all that high, all that hot rather, because he signed his extension just before the start of the season, and I think what you've seen here over the last couple of weeks, sorry, I'm fighting a voice bug, so I'm all up in my head. What we've seen in the last couple of weeks is the team really, I don't know, embrace a shift more towards, hey, we know that this is not going to be our year, and we know that this team is probably not going to be competing for much this year. They currently sit 32nd after a 5-1 loss last night in Nashville. And so I think with the organization being a little bit more okay, like I don't think they're okay with a complete teardown or a complete blow-up or anything like that. But I do think they're a little bit more okay with, you know, the bigger picture being the priority and letting Craig Conroy take this thing even younger here in the next couple of years. And so for that reason, especially with some potential big moves coming when it comes to veteran players on this team, I think Ryan Huska's spot is pretty secure as it stands right now. And I know that they had expectations to be a playoff competitive team this year, but I think internally they knew that there was a chance that what happened last year when they finished out of the playoffs on a tiebreaker only, that might have been a little bit, that might have been a little bit of the team overachieving, being over their skis, whatever term you want to use. And so as a result, I think that they are a little bit more okay with things being a process and things being more focused on the bigger plan here. So right now, and here's the thing, if all of a sudden the Flames stop working, if all of a sudden we're starting to hear and see in body language that, you know, things have got a little bit sour, if those things start to happen, guys, then maybe it's a legitimate conversation. But for right now, team's still working. They still believe in the way they need to play and all those types of things. And for that reason, with a two-year extension signed, I think Ryan's job is actually pretty secure for the time being. And unless things go so poorly that they don't have a choice, I'm not really anticipating a change, and that goes for both the coaching staff and obviously management, who they announced a two-year extensions for on Friday for the entire group. So I think we're looking at status quo for the time being anyway.
Do you agree with that? Because outside looking in, I get the sense that people are viewing the Calgary Flames as not knowing what they are. And people are like looking at that franchise going, you guys got to sell. You got to. And then Craig Conroy is almost pushing back, sending the message that you just sort of delivered in that, this team might be better than we think it is. And it's.
But Pat, there's the carrot. The carrot's Gavin McKenna. What are they?
Yeah.
Where they are right now.
But I think Craig Conroy thinks that they got something there.
I don't know.
We're building.
So here's the interesting thing in this market, and it's been a very tumultuous last 2 weeks or so in this market. So Craig Conroy didn't have an announced contract extension until Friday. And the president of hockey operations here is Don Maloney. He did a couple of interviews that really fired up the fan base. So, like, you've got a group of fans in this market who want exactly what you're talking about. They want a bigger picture priority. They want this team to sell, and they want this team to, you know, get a couple of high picks in the next couple of drafts to
burn it down.
Truly get this team. Yeah, and you know, maybe not completely burn it down to the extent that, you know, San Jose or Chicago did, where they had to go through 4 or 5 years of real pain to kind of get to where they are this season. But that there is a real appetite for the type of build that will bring the Flames back to more than just a bubble playoff team or a team that, you know, might be able to win a round here or there. Instead, Gavin McKenna, Lyonen DuPont, Keaton Bearhoff, you know, what, Ivar Stenberg, whatever you want to point to when it comes to top players in the next couple of drafts, those are the type of guys that Flames fans want this team to bring in. And I think there has been a little bit of a shift organizationally where I think even a couple of weeks ago, there was a real resistance to embrace that type of thinking. I do think that resistance has, I don't know, resided a little, has maybe come back a little bit, and maybe there is a little bit more willingness to actually do and follow the writing on the wall here, guys. And so I don't think it will be a big shock in this market if, look, Rasmus Anderson's on an expiring contract, so I think we all know he's going to get traded. But what about Blake Coleman? What about Nazem Kadri? Like, are those guys that the team would actually think about moving? And I think now, over the last week or two, I think there's been a small shift to now, instead of an outright no, if all of a sudden teams start calling with legitimate offers that really move the needle, I think that the Flames will be a whole lot more receptive to maybe pulling the trigger on a deal that helps them. So I do think there's been a shift here, and I do think it could end up being pretty significant in terms of where this team goes long term.
Well, Pat, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. The great Peter Marr gave me advice to clear up a voice issue. You know, a shot of white vinegar. I never tried it. He might have been joking, but
that is not where I thought you were going, old whiskey nye.
No. That was some Peter Marr told me. Maybe give it a shot.
Do just that, because that guy. Walks on water, so I might do just that.
That is Pat Steinberg, of course. You see him now on a little bit of Flames coverage on Sportsnet, on the radio as well, and you can read his stuff on the CFL at cfl.ca. Coming up next, here on the Green Zone, yes, we dump on Aaron Rodgers often. But on this day in sports, he did something that cannot be dumped on. It might be one of the greatest throws in NFL history. It was on this day, and we'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Eppridge Farm remembers.
Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead.
It is Joe Sakic. Scores. Joe Sakic scores.
It's better promise me I'll be back.
On this day in sports history, it was December the 3rd, 2015. Lions against the Packers, one play left, and Aaron Rodgers throws it to the moon.
At the 39. Can the receivers get far enough down the field? Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone! Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown, a game ender.
Aaron Rodgers threw that from the 36-yard line. He threw it 64 yards, and it looked like a punt, the hang time it had for Aaron Rodgers walk-off as a Packers quarterback against the Detroit Lions. They're calling it the miracle in Motown for the Packers.